the guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson, defenders backing off.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today, myself, Jay and Buster will look back on the 2-1 opening day defeat to Rangers. We'll preview the Ross County League Cup fixture on Wednesday night and also look ahead to Saturday's game against St Johnstone in the Scottish Premiership. Guys, how's it going?
Aye, no bad.
Good, thanks.
Jay, it's obviously almost 24 hours on from yesterday's opening day defeat. I think we kind of came away from the game fairly encouraged by what we saw. We created some chances. Defensively, perhaps not the most solid looking, but I suppose it's a results game, and to take no points from the first game is quite disappointing, despite the fact that it was obviously against a team that I'd expect to be challenging up the top end of the table this season.
I don't know if I thought defensively we looked all right. I mean, the back three I thought was maybe a wee bit questionable again, but then that's just because I'm not really a fan of the back three.
I think it was just more about getting picked off.
Well, I think the back three, I think I was a part of that. I think I could cut, particularly on Tate's side, so on our right hand side, there was a good few times that Lee Wallace was coming forward with the ball and Josh Windass was just completely unmarked because Tate had to deal with both of them. So that was a bit difficult. But I thought the actual three centre-halves, I thought, were really good. Dunn, who, for some bizarre reason, a couple of folk, particularly in Steelman Online, about it, they seem to have decided these mints. I thought his distribution's still really, really poor. He needs to stop just launching the ball up the park. But I thought he was good defensively. His pace is phenomenal. Kipri was fantastic. I think I read earlier that the Sun gave him 5 out of 10, which just suggested he won the game because he was possibly our man of the match. And Ben Hennigan, for all we've even kind of talked about how he's not particularly been fantastic, I thought was really good. It was obviously great to see him finally get a goal that's given. So I thought
it was very much overdue.
So I thought I thought in terms of defensively, maybe the system caught us out a wee bit, but I thought we still looked half decent. Created plenty of chances. Should have had a couple of goals. That said, you know, Windass could have had a double, hit the woodwork once. Kenny Miller should have scored. So I think over the piece of draw would have been a fair enough result. So I'm disappointed we dropped points, particularly because Tate underperformed, Moult underperformed, McHugh underperformed. So that's three of your better players. And if they'd actually turned it on in the day, then I think we probably could have been on and beat them, because Rangers certainly weren't anything special.
I think, Buster, from the Betfred games and losing Gilbigarama, it was obviously a massive loss and a disappointment to lose them for our opening league fixture. And as you said, I think it maybe affected Karim Hughes' performance. Lee Moult was very off colour. I don't know whether it was a case of trying too hard to impress, whether his fitness isn't quite there just now. He missed a glaring opportunity in the first half that a guy that scored 18 goals in the last two league seasons, you would have put your house on him.
Should
it away.
Be sent off as well.
Yeah, the elbow for the Rangers penalty is pretty inexplicable, to be perfectly honest. But the tackle late, and I think it was in Graham Dorms, wasn't it?
Right, I can't remember. I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Sloppy. Looked off the pace.
Well, you know, I've only managed to see the highlights, and you know, as the game was ongoing, I was reading what was happening, so I can only really go by the brief highlights I've saw. But as you said, I felt against Morton, I think it was Morton, sorry, Berwick Rangers, sorry, I think against Berwick Rangers, Moult was trying a wee bit too hard, but it was also, again, as you say, I think Miles off the pace in regards to his fitness and stuff. And from what I've seen there, you know, that miss in particular, you know, I think if he'd, you know, he should still have scored, there's no real excuse, but I think if he'd a couple of weeks training in him, a couple of weeks game experience, I know he's played in just about every game, but, you know, if he was a bit sharper, basically he would have stuck that in the goals. And again, as I say, I never really saw much other than the highlights, so I can only go by what I saw and what I was reading. It seems like, as Jay mentioned, you know, didn't Tate's side, we were a bit exposed. Richard Tate's one I've got questions over defensively anyway, and when he was bombing forward during the, you know, the Betfred Cup games, I was thinking to myself, there's, you know, this is going to leave us a bit exposed. It's maybe something that they need to work on, you know, maybe whether it's Cadden or Bigorama or, you know, Andy Rose or whoever else has to come across and cover as well, especially if you've got an attacking fullback like Lee Wallace, because again, a bit like Tate, I think his speciality is going forward rather than defending. But you know, over the piece and what I saw, a couple of setters we missed. The goalie had a great save. As lucky as it was, I don't really think the Rangers goalie's up too much, to be honest with you, but as lucky as it was, great save for Fisher. And it's disappointing to come away and with no points.
Is this a kind of cause for concern? You talk about Moult and perhaps on his way before the transfer window finishes, Ryan Bowman comes on and misses a glaring chance. He's not got a prolific record of scoring for us. Alex Fisher still got off the mark.
In fairness, I thought at the time I thought Bowman's was an absolute star. See, looking back, I think Bowman does well with it. I think it's, you know, it's in the air. It's coming across him. He does actually really, really well. He's really unlucky. I don't think that's as much a setup. Not, don't get me wrong, he'll no doubt really be disappointed that he didn't actually score it, but not that I'm saying Bowman can fill Moult's shoes, but you know, even with Fisher, I thought Fisher, other than his chance, looked really good when he came on. The biggest problem, I think, was the way we were playing yesterday. Moult continually found himself out in the left wing, and the same exact same thing happened to Fisher. So Fisher came on and actually had a really good impact. He was really enthusiastic to get in about the game, worked his socks off, running about everywhere, but he kept getting dragged wide, and that was a problem, because even more so than Moult, you want Fisher in the box, particularly because at the moment we seem to be playing for crosses. It seems to be a big part of our game, which I'm slightly concerned about, because the first two games of the League Cup campaign, I don't think we were. We seem to play more through the middle with Gale and Carol McHugh, and that seemed to work. We scored a barrel load of goals, and since then we started trying to go down the wings, and suddenly we're missing chances. We're still creating them, but we seem to be missing chances. So whether somebody replaces Moult that we've already got, whether we get someone else in, or perhaps Moult will stay, I still remain to be convinced that MD's interested in him, and that's not to be disparaging to Louis Moult, we all love him, but Aberdeen's the only, well, Rangers were kind of semi-linked to him, Aberdeen were, and that's been rejected. I can't imagine that they're going to ever pay what we want, regardless of how well, you know, what money they've got from Europe or Johnny Hayes.
Well, I think they're out of Europe, possibly.
Yeah. I just couldn't imagine Aberdeen paying, you know, more than £750,000 for one player, particularly to another Scottish club. I think Louis Moult will be here after the transfer window. And in terms of his actual performance yesterday, the idea that he was trying too hard but looked a bit off the pace, I think it was basically a combination of both. I think he's trying to be, I don't know if he was trying too hard, I think he was just trying to be the hard working, running everywhere player that he normally is, and he's just not up to pace, and it frustrated him. No doubt the fact that Bobby Madden basically gave every decision against him as well, you know, anything that was up in the air, Moult was getting, you know, fouled all through the first half.
There was a point where he actually just stood still, Bruno Alves.
Well, that was the thing. Bobby Madden yesterday basically gave every 50-50 to Rangers, and Lou Moult actually bore quite a lot of the brunt of that in the first half in particular. He was getting fouled quite a lot, and yet decisions were going against him, and I think he basically just got a bit petulant. You know, that he missed that chance, he wasn't getting in for the referee, he wasn't able to do as much work, or things weren't coming off as much as they normally do. He obviously gave away the penalty, which, again, I can see why some people call it soft, because it wasn't necessarily an elbow. He puts his arm across the boy goes down, you see footage of the guy on the ground as though he's just been, like, lamped. That was a bit ridiculous. It probably was a foul. Would we have got it up the other end? Debatable. But I just imagine Louis Moult probably just really kind of lost the head a little bit, and how he stayed on the park for that challenge, I'm not really sure, because there's no way Bobby Madden didn't think it was a booking. I think Bobby Madden hasn't booked him because he was already on a yellow card, because there's nobody in that stadium didn't look at that and go, he's off.
I think you didn't initially.
That's because I didn't initially, because I was, oh, he's been booked, right, fair enough. So I think Moult will still be here. I don't think he's going anywhere unless, as I've said before, unless you get to just before, maybe a couple of days before the window, and there's some team down in League One who their first, second and third choice targets they've not managed to get, or they've been in a position that we were with Marvin Andrews where their strikers moved on. Marvin Andrews, what am I talking about? Marvin Johnson. Aye. Marvin Johnson. You know, that idea that one of your better players moves on, you need to kind of fill the gap. I think that could possibly happen, but I don't think there's anybody circling, you know, Louis Moult at the moment.
I think I was going to say that there, if you hadn't said that as you finished, sorry, but I think my worst fear is Louis Moult goes a day or two before the transfer window, maybe, you know, the last hour or two before. Right. Actually, that's probably a nightmare scenario, and we don't have a chance to bring MD in, and or if we do, it's maybe just someone who's available and we have to take a punt on. But as you say, I think there's a good chance he will still be here as well. I don't think there's very many people looking at him just now, and you know, whether or not it works in our favour, of course, remains to be seen. But it then, you know, if he then starts to come on in a game after it closes, or after a window closes, scores a couple of goals, and we can, you know, he wants to leave, basically. You know, I think everybody knows he's not wanting to sign that contract we offered. So if we have to sell him on for a bit cheaper, depending on where we are in the league, whether it depends on our survival, sell one for a bit cheaper, a wee bit of add-ons in January, you know, fair enough. But as I say, it's all if and buts, but I don't necessarily see him leaving either.
And just in terms of replacements and stuff, another name, George Newell. I mean, obviously we've not really seen a great deal of him, but he seemed to have been one of a few that were going to be signed for the under-20s, and yet he's come off the bench against Berwick and again on Sunday. So I mean, it would suggest that he's at least been brought in for the fringes of the first team. That could be something else. I mean, he actually looked half decent against Berwick when he came on.
He's at that age though, he's what, 20 years old, so he actually has to be really pushing for a place. You know, you expect, I don't want to get into the conversation about our under 20s, are they better or worse than these players we're bringing in or whatever, I mean, we can, but you know, you expect a 20 year old guy on the brink of the first, to be on the brink of the first team, you know, because he's not got a, if he doesn't, if he's nowhere near it, he's not got a very long career left in.
I think one guy that impressed me yesterday more than he has done in his game time that he's had so far was Andy Rose. I thought he'd had a good game, of big shoes to fill, with the fact that he came in for Bigorama, and I think he showed that there is some potential there, whereas I've kind of been a wee bit despondent about his. Sorry, I don't know what that was. I hadn't been really filled with much confidence from what I saw in the Betfred game, so I thought he was a good bit better yesterday.
Quite alarmingly, that was Buster's wallet that hit the deck, so it must be absolutely full. I don't think he did a lot. He didn't do anything wrong. I think he basically did the kind of the dirty work in the midfield. Perhaps that's more his game, perhaps one of the reasons that he's like struggled. I wouldn't say struggled, but I think he's looked a little lost in a lot of the Betfred Cup games. He's not been able to exert any influence in the game, he's not really been able to get into it, he's struggled to settle. I wonder if it's perhaps because he's suited more to sitting in with Callum McHugh rather than playing, you know, alongside McHugh and Bigorana perhaps in front of them. So maybe it just suited him. Don't think he did, you know, anything majestic, but then you don't really need to if you're in there. You need to.
I would say
it was better than Callum McHugh.
I think that's
disappointing, because McHugh's so good, but it was just one of those games where McHugh struggled to get a handle on the game.
I think in the two Betfred games, Edinburgh City and Berwick Rangers games, he's been playing against a team that essentially had a bank of 10. We were charged with breaking them down, and I think the Edinburgh one is the one that can be kind of written off, because it was in a a plastic pitch that was really, really dry. The ball wasn't zipping about. The Berwick was possibly more disappointing, but I suppose he's factored in two wins as well, so he can't.
I think that, you know, going back to what you were saying about this crossing the ball a lot and things like that, you know, the fact he's 6'6" or whatever it is, you know, I think there's a bit of hope there. But I mean, he was obviously signed for the first team when he first signed, but you know, he's in my opinion, he'll not get in there based on what I've seen if everybody's fully fit and everybody's available. So, but the fact he's tall and the fact that we're trying to get the balls into the box, you know, same with Fisher as well, I suppose. You know, if Andy Rose can come from the midfield and get onto one of the balls and you know, get his head on it, it might work out decent, depending obviously whether or not he's a, you know, a good header of the ball. I suppose I'm just saying that because he's, you know, 6'6". It's something where I think, as I say, you know, I wasn't there, but from what I was reading, Callum McHugh had a honking game. Andy Rose and Ryan Bowman appear to be the sort of Boo Boys targets at the moment, you know, no matter what. And there was people, even on Steelman Online, I think it was as well, as I was reading, saying, I don't know why you're getting at Andy Rose. He was actually pretty decent, you know, didn't he do anything spectacular, done his job, you know, pretty decently, and you know, there was worse players on the park.
I think Tanner, Dunn and Rose at the moment are the ones that the Boo Boys have kind of picked, not isolated to actually boo, but are kind of, you know, they're in the raffle to be picked out as the Boo Boy targets this year, which I find bizarre, because as I said, Andy Rose has maybe struggled to settle a little bit, but I don't think he's shown anything to suggest that he's a, you know, a step down from Craig Clay. I think there's plenty to think that he could at least, I mean, Joe McKelvey was at the game yesterday, who obviously goes to Coventry games, follows Coventry quite a lot, was raving about Biggie Rana when we were going to sign him and about how great this signing was. When we asked him about Andy Rose, he kind of said, well, he's a decent enough player, I'd expect him to maybe be, you know, not in the first team but on the bench. So if that's what he's actually meant to be brought in for, then fair enough. But again, you know, like Dunn, I thought Dunn looked good. Again, he's maybe been overshadowed slightly by the fact that Cedric Kiberi is fast becoming a cult hero. So that's maybe unfortunate for Dunn. And Tanner, again, Tanner is rough. You know, he's rough and he'll do. His decision making at times isn't great. Sometimes his delivery's poor. But he's an exciting, enthusiastic, and positive player. And it was obviously his ball in, a great ball for Hennigan. So I know that there is a sort of culture of wanting to have one or two players to blame things on, and no doubt, you know, fate will dictate who that's going to be, but at the moment I'm quite positive about all the signings we've made.
Tanner,
so far,
you mentioned Tanner there, and you see I have read one or two people obviously, and Tanner doesn't look like a footballer, etc. And again, other than maybe, you know, it's the one where he could have slotted in two players either side yesterday.
Aye.
You know, for what I've seen, he didn't do much wrong. Don't get me wrong, he didn't feature heavily in the highlights, but you say he put in a great cross for Hennigan, and as you say, you know, it was great to see Hennigan so happy to finally score. Like, again, he's one that's 6'6" and he actually had to bend down and he did it at knee height to get it in the goals. But you say it's there's people looking for, I don't want to say a target or anything, but you know, there's always that person in the squad who somebody's going to hang shite basically, and you know, I think people are just looking for somebody to settle in.
It was good to see Speedy announcing that Andy Ross was being taken off yesterday as well. Clearly, I was on his mind. Wednesday, we visit Dingwall for the Betfred League Cup second round match against Ross County. County got a great start, beating Dundee this weekend in the league. And I was quite surprised to see that, to be honest. I thought, particularly after losing Liam Boyce, that they would be drastically weakened by that, but again, Jim McIntyre seems to have built a squad that will be sturdy, hard to beat. And I heard Stephen Robinson say post-match yesterday that if our levels drop from what they were against Rangers, then we don't stand a chance because they will beat us essentially. So we've had encouraging signs yesterday with a good performance. Got to keep that up and going into Wednesday and then St Johnston on Saturday.
Well, I mean, I agree with Robinson that if we, you know, don't keep the level of performance up, we'll get beat, but that's because I don't think we were necessarily good yesterday. You know, you kind of come away and you think, oh, we created chances, we scored a goal. You know, don't get me wrong, we went you know, I saw the phrase for kind of we went toe to toe with Rangers. I can't remember if it was Pine Bob Ross, the one online. You know, just the idea that after season of watching us, you know, mould our formation around Rangers or Celtic and being defensive. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I think at times we were a little naive. We took 20 minutes to get into the game. We showed them a little bit too much respect at times. But we went with the back three, that's our formation, rightly or wrongly, whether you like it or not, that's our formation, that's how we want to play. So we went into the game playing how we want to play. And yes, I thought there were good performances from Cadden. You know, Hennigan, as I said, looked good. You know, so I mean, I think over the piece we battled well, we looked decent in spells, but I don't think it was a particularly good performance. I still think Carroll McHugh, as I said, was poor. Tate wasn't in the game, got caught out a couple of times. Moult just wasn't at the races at all. I think that's a positive thing, the fact that we've went and played against that Rangers side who, you know, they're not particularly great. If you're a Hibs or an Aberdeen or even a Hearts fan, depending on who they bring in, you would look at that Rangers team and think we can go and beat them. But in saying that, they have got, you know, decent players. Graham Dorans strolled through the game. They are an imposing side, and we went, you know, we managed to compete with them over the piece, created chances that we should have taken, but I still don't think it was a particularly good performance. So with that in mind, I agree, if we don't keep that level of performance, if we go get worse, then we probably will lose on Wednesday. But what I would say is, if Biggie comes back into the fold, if McHugh can, you know, get his head back in the game, if Moult can get a bit of fitness and, you know, start scoring goals again, you know, and I suppose if the whole team can kind of get more used to the back three, then I think there's a lot to be positive about. So I'm not actually slating the team for yesterday for being poor. I'd actually think that's a good thing, the fact that we've went toe-to-toe with Rangers, we've narrowly lost, we could have got a point, probably should have got a point, and yet I think there's a lot to come for the team, because it's not guys who are new signings that were poor yesterday, it's guys that we know can actually play really well at this level and will play really well at this level.
It's interesting you obviously mentioned the back three, because I was going to just hark back to Saturday again there. I was going to ask, sorry, did it sort of say that stay, that sort of three at the back way throughout the game? Because I know we brought on a couple of extra players.
Later on, we kind of went back to a back four.
Yeah, but we went three up top.
Again, that was another thing. I mean, I know Moult obviously went off, and that was to be expected, I suppose, because he wasn't match fit. But just in, you know, talking about the idea that we went and actually they go at Rangers, we brought in three strikers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there wasn't this like for like, or apart from in the case of Moulton off, there wasn't like for like, there wasn't, you know, an attempt to just, you know,
the old kind
of, it was a case of, right, we're losing this, we're going for more goals. And then of course, you know, it almost paid off. You could have been sitting there with Bowman and Fisher both scoring for the bench. So I think that's again something to be positive about, because again there was a lot kind of question over the summer over, you know, was Robinson the cheap option? Is it just going to be a long ball, because that's effectively what he had to do to keep us up?
Yeah.
And yet, again, got my doubts over the back three, but we've got our own system. We're trying to play football. We at least have a plan. As I said earlier, I think we look more effective when we're trying to play with the ball on the deck and try to go through the middle rather than down the flanks. But we've got our own plan and we're sticking to it. And then when we're actually losing against a side who are apparently better than us and bigger than us, we're actually going, no, right, send on the strikers, we're going for this, and that's a good thing.
See, that being said, though, did not think that was one of the most, and I know we're not here to talk about Rangers and should make a point in not talking about them very much, but
believe their name every
I think they were very, very negative for a team that we're so used to seeing coming to Fir Park and we're on the defensive and we're forced to defend for long spells. They only had two shots in target.
Oh, yeah.
As I say, you know, I wasn't there yesterday. I was sitting on the ferry coming back, basically. I was watching it coming in, and they went to five at the back at one point as well. Well, from what I've seen, I assumed it was five at the back, and from what I read up there, I said, well, on the internet, sorry, somebody was saying, you know, they were bringing on man to hold, bringing on men to hold on against Mullow. And as you say, you know, whether or not they'll gel and get a bit better, you know, it's up to them. Who cares about them, as you say? But they're spending quite a fair bit of money on players who should be better quality than we have. And as you say, we went up against them. We came out the losers, but you know, there was no real sort of shame in the way we lost or whatever. So, but and again, just to go back to the original sort of topic at Ross County, I was asking if did we stay three at the back or whatever. Robinson doesn't seem afraid to change it during the game. But as you've said, we're definitely setting a three at the back. And, you know, I like Richard Tate, he's a good player, but I think he's, especially in this wing-back role, he's a bit gung-ho. And, you know, as I say, I didn't see it yesterday, but for what I was reading, he seemed to get caught out, mixed up, you know, and nobody really helped him either, to be fair, you know. So it's this back three, will it work? Who knows? But it's good to see that we've got a plan, as you say, we're trying to stick with it. And the centre halves, in my opinion, look suited to Dunn. You've mentioned, you know, he's a bit bit kamikaze when he's got the ball, I think. You know, his passing's maybe not great, but if he can knock it inside to Hennigan or then knock it across to the keeper, you know, Cedric looks absolutely fantastic, as we've said. So if we can, you know, settle down a bit and maybe plug the holes when we need to, you know, it could be something that works, but it's always been a wee bit of a cause for concern for me.
Aye, I think one of the things with the fullback, or the wing-back, sorry, is you've got Tate, is used to being a right-back, and in the wing-back formation, you can see that he's like, yes, I've
come for it. Yeah.
And then in the opposite side, you've got Freer, who's a winger, who's going, oh no, I need to go back to defend now. So you've actually almost got an imbalance where Freer's almost like ineffective as a winger because he's having to sit so far back. He's probably sitting too far back at times. It's almost as though he isn't sure how far he can go forward. And then on the other side, you've got Tate, who's, you know, as I said, there was a couple of times. I don't want to go back to Rangers, but Rangers were mediocre. I think apart from Alves, I think Alves stole the SPFL. I think Dorans again strolled it, and Windass looked good. In saying that, there were a couple of times when we just allowed him to run through. Somebody should have wiped that one where he hit the post. Somebody should have wiped him out in the halfway line. So Rangers were particularly mediocre, and I think a better team would have exploited, or yesterday in particular would have exploited the fact that, you know, you had Wallace and Windass coming forward up against the right wing back. A better team would have exploited that. And you know, it's something you need to work on. That's not to say that it won't work. You know, if you've got Tate and you're in every, if you get Tate and Freer and you're in every day in training and you're, you know, you're working in these things, then hopefully we will see an improvement.
See, for all Dons to stroll the game, he still had to kind of resort to a pretty cynical challenge as well when he spun Cadden round to take a booking, and it's kind of possibly a side that I would like to see kind of sneak into our play at times and just be a wee bit more cynical. And as you said, Windass allowed to just roam forward for 60 yards without anyone just smashing him, basically. And you take him out, take the booking. We need to be, I don't even know if it's dirty, I'm just more cynical at times.
Streetwise, it's something that used to always cost us in Europe as well. Like, remember you used to be up against guys and you're not one talking about diving and all that, yeah, but you're always just getting caught out as silly, like, just being a bit naive. And I think there was spells yesterday where we looked a wee bit naive, gave them a wee bit too much respect. But in saying that, we have got a really young squad. Probably one of the youngest squads we've had in quite a long time.
I think that's something that goes with it. Yeah, I think that's something that's a bit unnoticed, that, you know, even the back three yesterday, Cedric, Ben and Dunn, I think the oldest one's done at 24. Maybe Ben by a month or two then at 24. But, you know, as you say, it's a very young team we've got, and you know, as you say, we're trying to sell them a dream, if you want. You know, come here, play, show us what you can do, move on in a year or two. So you know, it's good to see that, as you say, they are so young, and you know, Cedric and things like that. You know, there's always a bit of promise there with everybody, but I think I seen Lee McCulloch say it in Sports Scene as well. You know, his Kilmarnock weren't streetwise enough, and I think that's something you say we've maybe been missing for a while.
And you would have to think that Wednesday we're coming up against a team that are quite notoriously streetwise. They're a strong unit. They're particularly strong at home, but we have got a record of going there and getting results in recent times. I think last season it was a 1-1 draw and a 2-1 victory. It's possibly been good as well to have a game so soon after. I think the disappointment from yesterday was that we had these chances, and you kind of, maybe there'll be a few guys that have got a wee bit of regret over not taking these chances or an opportunity missed. So they've got that chance to turn it around. And particularly thinking of guys like Karen McEwen and Louis Mope, will be determined to kind of right the wrongs of yesterday, I suppose.
Aye, I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say that I'm optimistic for a cup tie with Motherwell, but I don't see any reason not to be. I was really positive after, but as positive as you can be after losing, you know, a game. But I thought, again, although I didn't think we played particularly well, there were spells and stuff we were doing, you know, there was a bit of a moment where a great bit of football between Malt and Tanner, and Malt tried to play it back when he should have just buried it. And, you know, we created a lot of good chances, some decent deliveries into the box. I just don't think overall we were good enough. Again, you know, the fact that I don't think Rangers were anything special suggests that we weren't good enough, because, you know, you can say what you want about Bobby Madden and his decision making and stuff. At the end of the day, we didn't take in for the game because we didn't take our chances. But in saying that, we know that we can be better. The players that we've spoke about, we know can be better. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing McHugh in a bigger manner this season, because I think they will be fantastic in the SPFL. So I think there's no reason why you can't go to Ross County and look to win it, because, you know, again, it's a new season. But well, in terms of the League Cup, we're, you know, 4 wins out of 4. The game on Sunday was always going to be, you know, one of those games where, as long as you didn't get a horse, and you could look at it as a positive start to the season, because you've got guys there who have, you know, yes, they've played competitive football in the Betfred Cup, but they've experienced, you know, Half-Filled and Firth Park and, you know, a kickabout in a sports centre at Edinburgh City. You know, it's at least thrown them in and saying, right, here's the atmosphere, here's the players, here's Graham Dorans, here's, you know, Lee Wallace, the kind of guys you're going to be up against in sort of the top six level. So they now know what they're in for, and they can kind of go to Ross County on Wednesday. The league season's underway. You know, we've got 4 out of 4, and I don't see any reason not to go up there and think that we can beat them. Because, as you said, even our past record up there is good. So I'm quite confident going up.
I think, you know, as you say, in a game, I've said this the last 2 or 3 weeks, obviously, but no disrespect to the competition or the opponents. But, you know, the Betfred Cup is treated, you know, partially like a, you know, a pre-season thing. So, as you say, the season, even I seen fans on Twitter, you know, on Saturday say, this is it, the season starts here. Despite the fact, you know, they've maybe played 4 or 5 games, they've got 4 games already in the Betfred Cup. But, and sorry, Inverness there. Well, actually, Inverness as well. But Ross County coming up, it is a winnable game. I've not paid much attention to anyone else during the summer, really.
Yeah, never.
So I don't even know who's been retained or who they've got. But as she says, we're making chances. We just need one or two of them to go in, you know, and, as I say, Louis Moak's missing sitters. Ryan Bowman's was a sitter, but it was a bit harder than it initially looked. Fisher, I've said it before as well, he needs one to hit him in the knee and go in, basically, before he starts picking him in. And I, as I say, mentioned Inverness there accidentally, because I was thinking, Inverness fans on my Twitter, when we signed him, you know, I says, what's it like? And he says, he'll miss sitters, but he'll get you some goals as well. You know, 10 goals a season, but he'll miss a few sitters. And as you say, there should be no fear going to Ross County, but I don't know anything about them, really, to be honest with you, say that we should definitely go. I watched their highlights earlier, to be fair, as well, but again, it was on in the background, you know, I wasn't really paying much attention.
I think just because we are now going to places and playing our own game and creating chances, at the end of the day, although we missed a lot of chances there, we look like a team that can go into every game and score a goal. You know, we look like a team that will go and create a good couple of chances. We did it, I know it was again the Betfred Cup, the competition isn't great, but we created a lot of chances, did a lot of the ball. So, you know, although it's, I suppose it's one of those kind of glass half full, half empty kind of things, you look at the chances, a lot of which we've missed, and you go, well, you know, we're missing these chances, we need to get somebody in that can score them. On the flip side, you're creating a lot of chances, and but you've got guys like Fisher, okay, he's no scored yet, but we know he can score goals. Louis Moat, we know he can score goals. You know, Cadden perhaps might start to add goals to his game, having scored a couple in the League Cup. So if you're creating the chances, you're going to score goals. That's where the goals come from. And I think they're up to Ross County on Wednesday, it'll be a good start, a good chance to show that, because it's one of those games as well that, you know, there's no point in going and playing for penalties. So it needs to be one on the night. So, you know, go play your own game, be positive. Do what we've done so far this season in terms of creating chances. And, you know, at the end of the day, Fisher's a good example of someone who just needs a goal, in my opinion. I think he does. I know you've said he'll miss sales, you know, over the course of the season, according to Inverness fans, but he's in that really weird spell at the moment. I think Jukovic was in it. I think Porter was in it for a wee while.
Porter had a wee two or three games.
And I think it's that spell where, you know, misses a couple of chances, the fans start to think, oh, is he going to be a dud? And then, you know, a goal goes in and suddenly there's a purple patch. So hopefully, you know, you can get him off the mark on Wednesday as well, because I'd maybe be convinced Mo will actually start on Wednesday, because I don't know his fitness, don't even know where his head's at after Sunday. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Fisher up front, but no, I'm perfectly confident going up there.
See, we're talking about that there, and it's a difficult opening week to the season, a trip to McDermott Park and Saturday to follow what was a difficult league opener as well. You don't want to get too deep into the season and be kind of searching about for that first point or the first win, because that's a bit of a cliche, but there isn't any gimmies in this league. It's a, if you do start badly, that kind of sets the tone for the season, and you might end up struggling.
You might be the gimme, huh?
So it's hard to see we've not got a good record at McDermott Park, kind of opposite to Dingwall, but again, it's a game that if we go there with the right approach, it's hard to know, because we're so early on in the season, we've not seen much of anyone. So Michael O'Halloran scoring a fantastic goal for them against Kilmarnock on Saturday, but it's very hard to gauge. But again, it's a trip that we have to view as winnable, I suppose.
Yeah, I understand that, and to be honest with you, every time I've went to McDermott Park over the last couple of years, I've thought we could come away here with a good result. But St Johnstone, and it's been said, you know, maybe not so much now, but over the last couple of years it's been said quite a lot, they seem to fly under the radar. You know, they were constantly fourth, third, or whatever, you know, they were constantly finishing in the top six. I think they're 6 out of the last 6 years they're finishing in the top six. You know, and Tommy Wright's got them well organised. Again, even last season, they're one of those teams where I couldn't really name you very many of their players. But, you know, they did have a good team, you know, a good team, basically. Whereas, you know, we were saying, I think we said before, 6 months ago, there's this player maybe better than that player or that player, but they actually played really well as a team. So it's not one where I'm immediately expecting we should win, but I wouldn't be surprised if we won. But having said that, you know, the exact opposite, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a very difficult game and we ended up with nothing again. And as you said as well, you don't want to, it's that close, sort of looking even at last season, the bottom six is that close, you don't want to have to go into 4, 5, 6, 7 games without a win. The only thing we've got in our favour in that manner is we seem to have about 6 home games in the first.
I think it'll be 6 in the first 8.
So you see, it'll be difficult on Saturday against St Johnstone, but it's no one that we should be fearing anyway.
You look at it, Jay, I suppose the kind of, there is no easy fixtures, and I suppose to be matched up with two teams that you would expect to finish in the top half of the league and your opening two fixtures is a hard ask, but you've got to play them at some point by that token. And while it is a hard place to go and get a result, and Tommy Wright for me is a fantastic manager, he's very much flown under the radar. Can't believe he's not already been appointed as a Hearts manager. But they have just got such a knack of building a squad that produces results, and it's kind of quite like ourselves, I suppose, in terms of fan base and so on. I just wish we could kind of reach the heights that they've had in the last couple of years, because they're the team that we all kind of aspire to, I suppose.
Oh, aye. I mean, obviously it depends, I suppose. I think I saw something online, I can't remember what the website was, it was that one that did that video of the Firth Park.
2.1,
and there was, you know, something to do with the amount of money that had been spent per the points that they'd gotten. Like St Johnstone were like 11th or something like that, you know, they'd spent so little to get where they end up. But in saying that, it's kind of like ourselves, you know, you went through those phases that you were top 6 Europe, and then it just takes, you know, one bad season and it's really bad to recapture that. Now, I'm not suggesting St Johnstone had a bad season last year, but you know, you miss out in the top 6, Partick Thistle get in, you know, last season, and how does that impact, you know, in terms of the money? I'm not suggesting that, you know, there's big wages and all that, but in terms of, you know, the budget, is it slightly less this season? Because, you know, they didn't get the last couple of games against Celtic and Rangers, they didn't get the prize money for finishing in the top 6. It might not be a massive blow to a team that's already really, really good at getting the best out of their budget. But at some point, that's got to, you know, it's got to go against you. You can't be that team that somehow pulls a miracle out the bag every season. Not to say that it's going to be this season that they falter, but I certainly wouldn't be looking at past glories as, you know, something to fear going into the game on Saturday. You know, there'll be a difficult place to go. It's that cliche you say it about a lot of teams, regardless of how they're actually doing that season. You know, if we drew Dundee United in the Cup last year, you would have been, Tannadice, a difficult place to go, even though they're in the division below. It's just, you know, one of those things that happens in football. So it'll be a difficult place to go, just because there is that mentality. They've obviously lost guys like Swanson, but brought in guys like O'Halloran, so they've still got decent players there. But again, if you can get a good result on Wednesday, then, you know, why not go? I'm basically just really keen to see, is because it feels like quite a while that we've done it, actually go and play our own game and turn up to grounds and think, right, this is how we're going to play, because we're Motherwell, we've got good players, we're going to play this way, and it's up to you. If you want to adapt to how we're playing, crack on. If not, we'll see what happens. That's something we've not done for quite a while. We've always, particularly under Mark McGee, you could never really guess how he was going to line up, because it seemed to be primarily based on who you were playing. So the fact that we can now go and play our own game and see what happens, that can only benefit us, because that means that the players, you know, you talk about the back three, but it means that they're at least going to get used to it, they're going to get into the swing of it. And I certainly wouldn't describe it as a must win game, but you're right, you need to try and get points on the board, because even although we know that it's a long, hard season and you're going to get home games and you're going to have spells where you've got a couple of easier games, if you're sitting there after four or five games without a win, you know, folks start to think, oh, there's a wee crisis going, or is it going to be a relegation battle? I still remain convinced that we'll finish maybe about eighth this season, possibly knocking the door at the top six. But if you want to be doing that, then you need to at least be putting in positive performances at McDermott Park.
And we can talk about the new guys, I suppose, for their confidence as well. We need to kind of hit a stride and find a win fairly quickly, because as we've kind of discussed already, the fans can sometimes turn in certain individuals. It's pretty much a staple diet of every football supporter, I suppose, that there has to be someone signalled out to be the fall guy. But you don't want the supporters to start turning in guys or becoming negative, because I think that the overriding feeling throughout this summer has been one of positivity. There's been some new personnel, there's been a lot of good PR coming out of the club in various different ways. So it's just now getting that first win to kind of kick us on. It's vital, and hopefully falling a win in the Cup would be lovely, obviously, but then falling up with a win at St Johnstone.
Yeah, as you say, you know, it's football, fans are fickle, ourselves included. So the only way to sort of get the fans right behind you and make sure they don't turn on you is to put the points on the board, as you say. So it is something which will be difficult, but I don't believe we have to go there doubting we can do it.
Do you think that, I was personally quite critical of Stephen Robinson's kind of the performances. I saw Alan Burrows put up his 50% win record in his first 16 games or something like that, which is impressive. It's right up there with some of the best stats in our managerial history. But the performances, and it was an itty-bitty last season, we had to stay up by hook or by crook, but I can't really recall. I thought we were good against Kilmarnock in the 3-1 victory at the end of the season. That aside, maybe Kelly away we were pretty decent, maybe it's just something to do with Kelly being shit, maybe. But there wasn't many kind of performances that you went home ranting and raving about how good it was. But now he seems to have kind of established a formation, a style of play. It seems like it's going to be more attractive if we can get Charles Dunne to stop launching that stupid ball sideways. But hopefully that's, we're not going to, as you say, kind of play the opposition. We're going to try and play our own game, try and put our own stamp in the game, and that'll mean for a more entertaining and possibly, I think, a more will carry much more of a threat, will be able to get guys. You look at Bolt.
he also lost yesterday.
Moll, Fisher, Bowman, all having clearing chances yesterday, so we're creating the chances, and the style of football we're playing is conducive to creating chances. So I kind of hope that we don't revert to type and play St Johnstone on Saturday. I think we should try and play our own game. And let's see how that goes for
it. I don't think there's any. I don't see any reason to think we will. I think that, as I said, over the summer, a few folk were thinking, "Oh, is this? You know, we've given the job to the long ball merchant." But it's became really, really clear that that was basically a needs must job.
He did.
You know, Zach Jules, Joe Chalmers. You know, you were basically piecing together teams. You know, you had injuries to guys. You were piecing together teams. The, you know, Craig Sampson in goals. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be more attractive just based on the personnel you've got.
You've got it. Well, it's kind of a bit of a cliche as well to blame Mark McGee for that, but some of the crud he brought in.
Well, that's it. I mean, you look at it now, would you take Carson or Samson? Would you take Jules or, you know, Kipre? Would you take Dunn or Chalmers? Would you take Clay or Bigamana? I mean, it's like there's not really any.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubts that the squad's better, and I think we've already shown. If you go into the first game of the season against Rangers on the TV, when your team haven't even gelled together and you go and play your own formation and you go, right, we're going with the back three, and you don't change things to suit the opposition, then that for me is a marker for the rest of the season. There's nothing to suggest then that you're then going to do it at McDermott Park or anywhere else. I think that's a positive thing, and I think it's about time. As I said earlier, there's no reason, if you get good players, you know, guys like Cadden, like Moult, like McHugh, then why should we be, you know, unless you've got like an injury crisis or something, then you really, really need to think about what you're doing, and it's not possible to play your own game, fair enough, but there's no reason why we shouldn't. Mark McGee just didn't have enough confidence in his own team, and presumably his own signings, you know, based on the way he went about things. But I think Stephen Robinson basically did what he had to do with the Mark McGee squad to keep us up, and now, I'm really positive about the season. I think, not that we're, I don't think we're going to go on any great runs, I don't think we're going to be back in Europe or anything like that, although who knows. But I just think we've got a chance to actually go and see a team that's capable of actually giving us good football, which we've not had for a wee while.
I think as well on you know, the style of play, you've mentioned as well, you know, Charles Dunn maybe playing it long. You know, again, I can't really comment on yesterday, but from what I'd seen previously, you know, we're knocking about at the back pretty easily, pretty confidently. And then, if needs must, it comes to maybe, as you say, like Cedric or maybe even Dunn or Carroll McHugh, and there's maybe a bit of a longer ball, because especially, you know, the first two games, the teams were sort of sitting in a bit and we had to draw them out. So you keep the play short, you know, bring them in, and then, you know, Queen's Park, for example, were two balls over the top to Ryan Bowman, and he scored two good goals. So I think we're going to see a mixture of that, hoping that we can maybe draw teams out a bit and then get a ball in the back. And in mind, sorry. And even, you know, going back to what we mentioned, coming down the wings, and, you know, I think it was yourself, Jay, that mentioned Chrissy Cadden maybe chipping in a few goals. If we're going to get the balls down the wings to Tate and Freer, we've got one forward in there, because Tanner plays as a second striker, but he's, you know, side to side in the park. So you're hoping maybe Cadden, especially if Andy Rose is, you know, playing big, tall guy. Big Rama as well scored a couple of E1-2s, set one up, scored one. So you're hoping that the guys can get into the box and help. So I think we're going to see a mixture of how we actually play. There might be some long balls when required, but I think we're going to be knocking the ball about pretty constantly as well.
Mix it up a bit.
What's the kind of take on the fact that Steve McManus didn't feature yesterday? Just got Steve Hamill out injured again, unfortunately. 3 to 4 weeks, it looks like. Is it isn't maybe a need for a little bit more experience in the squad? Obviously, Laz retiring at the end of last season. We are a young squad, and again, we're maybe going over old ground again here. But is that a big factor, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think obviously day to day, you hear even just in the pre-season when the players, the new signings in particular, were getting interviewed and they were saying about how great it was having guys like McManus and Laz and Hamill about. So I'm not sure, you would obviously need to ask the players themselves in terms of the day to day. On the park, yes, experience can obviously help, But in saying that, you know, we've just spoke about how the back three looked perfectly capable against Rangers. So, you know, it's easy to kind of get bogged down with, you know, this mystical thing of experience as though it's this great magical power. It's not necessarily, don't get me wrong, I think there are times when, particularly if you've got a young centre-half, that, you know, somebody can, you know, McManus can talk him through the game. In fact, I kind of thought that Hennigan lost his way last season when McManus dropped out of the squad, and so I was a little concerned as to how he would play, particularly in a back three with two young guys without McManus there. And yet I thought he was really decent yesterday. So I don't think, again, every squad's different at the end of the day. Robinson will know if he needs to get somebody in with experience. Obviously, that person has to be available. There's no point in going out and buying a 35-year-old who's absolutely garbage just because they're 35. But in saying that, we've also made, I mean, what age is Callum McHugh? 20?
I think he's about 23.
So we've made our captain, you know, somebody in their early 20s. It doesn't necessarily suggest that we, you know, Robinson views experience as this big holy power that we need to make sure is part of the squad. If we can get it, great. But, you know, I don't think it's you know, a vital part. I would be more than happy. He wants another centre half anyway. So if we can get another defender that does have a bit of experience, then it would be a good thing to have. But in saying that, McManus, Hamill, if they come back from their injuries, you know, they're now at that kind of stage in their careers where every injury you're not too sure. Mm-hmm. Particularly Hamill, who I think, you know, over the last couple of injuries, every time he's been off, there's kind of been a chat of, right, is that maybe it? If they can come back, then you might not have any need for any more experience. But I think it's subjective and it's just open to each squad stuff. Some squads need experience, some don't.
I think you're right there, because obviously we brought in Ellis Plummer, and I think everybody was sort of saying, you know, bring in somebody, you say, with the word experience, a bit of experience, a bit of whatever. But, you know, you could be 24 years old, and have plenty of experience. You know, if you've been playing for 7 years, basically, if you're 17, but it is a difficult one, you know, to basically, I don't think there is a right answer. As you mentioned, you know, Lasley's, I seen him on the telly, I can't mind if it was maybe even when he spoke to us, saying, you know, he's there to pass on what he knows, he's got the experience. Again, McManus as well, but when it comes to on the park, that's where we could find at times we are maybe missing, you know, a trick or two for an old head, but as you say, it's too difficult one to call.
Aye, I think the experience comes in, we were talking earlier about being streetwise.
Yeah.
If you've got a bit more experience, you might be a bit more streetwise, but I think, you know, if you're talking about someone needing an older head to talk them through the game, that depends on whether you've got that young person who needs to talk through the game. You might have, you know, Kipri's what, 20? I don't think Kipri looks as though he needs to talk through the game. I think he swaggers onto the park knowing that he can header anybody through a brick wall. I don't think there's any issues with him. And yet Hennigan last season looked as though maybe he did need that wee bit of experience. So I think it's a judgment call.
I think he's been a surprise package, hasn't he? Because he's a guy that's come in on trial.
Yeah, he was a trial.
And while he was in trial, I think Dembele looked the better option of the two.
He obviously got offered a deal as well and decided to go elsewhere.
I think that the goalkeeper will also play a big part in this as well. You know, Trevor Carson's about 28, 29, maybe 30. I don't, you know, he's around about that age. And he's obviously got his own job to do as well, but he sees it all in front of him. He should be the one that's saying, you know, for example, when Gordon Marshall was 40 years old or whatever it was when he played with us, I'm sure I read David Partridge say, I played the best in my life when I was at Motherwell because Gordon Marshall kept me right. Gordon Marshall, you know, a lot of experience under the sun there, kept him right. So I think, you know, Trevor Carson is maybe a good five, six years older than some of the centre-halves. He should be obviously helping out, looking at point. And again, I'm not here to tell him how to do his job. He'll obviously know better than me, but I think he'll play a big part in helping, you know, the young centre-halves as well.
You had a good goalkeeper though.
Fat, that's what it was.
Ellis Plummer arrived through the week. Also, just kind of when we're doing these live, it's good to see you actually on Wikipedia checking what age Callum McHugh was.
It was 24. I didn't even, you know, we guessed 23, 24, so we didn't bother. I didn't bother. So, you know, he is definitely 24.
An old heat in those squads.
Ellis Plummer came in and I was quite surprised to see Stephen Robinson saying on Friday that we were still looking for another centre back. That does suggest to me that Stephen McManus's injury problems might be a wee bit deeper than expected, and that McManus will struggle to find a way back. But Plummer comes in. It's quite incredible, to be fair. You look at his career at Man City, and he's never had a sniff in the, all the years he was there. I think it was 11 years he was there. And he played a handful of games for St Mirren on loan two or three seasons ago under Tommy Craig, got injured.
Apparently.
he comes in kind of unproven, I suppose, but I suppose you don't go to, or you don't play for Man City for that period of time without having something about you. So.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much he'll be on, but it's a 1 year deal. Don't know what his wages will be like. As you say, he's got a good pedigree in terms of where he's came from. By all accounts, it was highly rated in terms of where he was at Man City. And so, you know, it's one of those ones, why not? I mean, if you're needing strength at the back, you've got that option there. And you can bring him in for a year with potentially the option there another, then as long as it's not costing the club a fortune, then I think it's a decent enough move. Of course it could backfire. You know, I dare say we were probably saying the exact same thing when we signed Lee Lucas. You know, the idea of, oh, he's came through at a good club, he's got a good pedigree, he's not really proved himself, but it's a harmless deal. I mean, but in saying that, it essentially was, I mean, he wasn't good enough, he got binned out, that was it. So we'll see what happens. But you know, we do seem to have some decent options now, and he's not Zach Joe, so it's a bonus.
I think as well, when you mentioned, obviously Robinson's mentioned that he's looking for an centre half or another defender. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Plummer can play sort of left back, centre half sort of thing.
I'm
yeah,
part, I think
yeah. So I think that, as you say, we're looking at having plenty of defenders, and I think, you know, these guys being able to play left back as well frees up the sort of changes we mentioned actually during the game. You know, again, I don't, on Saturday when we seen you went to a back four at one point, I don't know if we've done with a went to left back or whatever. But you know, if these guys can play left back, and again, when I say play, I don't mean like Zach Jones can play left back. You know, again,
Zach Jones can't play left back.
Zach Jones has run his better games at left back,
probably actually. But that sort of then again frees up Freer, who, you know, we've said before, prefer to see him going forward rather than having to come back and deal with.
No, but I think also an interesting thing is you kind of suggested earlier as well, the fact that we've got guys who look comfortable in the back three. Mm-hmm. And that will not be a coincidence. You know, they've been brought in because they can play that, and I don't think we could last season. And so maybe that, I mean, again, I don't know, as McManus, you know, when you're his age and you get an operation and it's quite a lengthy spell off and you come back, it might be injury, but it could also partly be because Robinson just doesn't see him being able to fit into a back three, whereas Sunderland like Plummer might be able to, because if you can play left back, it suggests that you at least can, you know, take a touch and pass the ball, which is what you need to be able to do at a back three, or you need at least two of your three centre halves to actually be able to, you need a bit of pace there, you need somebody to be able to take a touch and pass the ball. But I think that's part of a big thing. We've actually seemed to have brought in players that can fit into a back three.
Yeah.
And that might be why Hamill, he seemed to quite like Hamill, the idea of Hamill in there, but not McManus. And again, is that because he sees Hamill as being more suited to the back three? So we'll see. I presume Plummer obviously has something about him, particularly with the back three in mind. So we'll see what happens then.
So the other new signings last week was the unveiling of our new mascots. Steelman and Raven Steel. Raven Steel particularly catching the attention because he's about 3 inches tall and looks like perhaps something that might end up getting left by somewhere or perhaps pinched.
Is Raven Steel a male?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think that Raven Steel is a shield.
Ravensteel is quite clearly the mascot. I mean, that's the one that everybody loves. Everybody's like, check that wee girder, that's the best thing ever. Steelman is just the bodyguard. Like Ravensteel is, if they bring out replicas in the club shop, they'll be snapped up.
But the only drawback of Ravensteel is that he has to be carried about everywhere because he's only got very, very thin legs.
As you said, they're due to be lost as well. Raven's deal is due to be lost as well, so the quicker they can get the replicas into the club shop, the quicker they can go,
I've lost that.
But I suppose on a serious note, there was the kind of usual strange replies varying across, including a change.org petition.
that was insane.
I know, and that is quite clearly legit. I mean, there's no way it's not, because it goes into, you know, arguments about how we've binned, you know, equal rights mascots of male and female, and
the overriding thing is that the two kids from local schools, again, the club have been going into the community, into schools, promoting the football club. So many kids taking part in this. They've got to meet their own creation. I did enjoy with the girl that designed Raven's Steel, where Charles Patterson and Sky asked her, "So does he look like what you imagined?" And her reply was, "No." it's a good news story. Got a lot of coverage in Sky that the club wouldn't get. It's not a Kingsley type character, which scares the shit out of Partick Thistle supporting children. I don't think I could ever even introduce Penny to Kingsley.
No, I think it's spot on. I mean, obviously, it kind of dragged on a wee bit to the point where we're joking about, is it going to happen and all that. But aside from the couple of really, really weird reactions to it, I mean, if you're a boo boy, that's one thing. But to then, you know, your target for the season going to be a guy in a polystyrene suit, it's a bit bizarre. But it's meant for kids at the end of the day. But no, I think it's been really well done. When you look back at it, you know, yes, there was a lot of what's happening here, but you know, it's engaged the local schools. The coverage was ridiculous. You know, Sky Sports News. I know Sky Sports News were doing the whole round the grounds thing anyway, but it was really positive. And then even the video. I did notice the video of the kids with the scarves around their eyes and the unveiling of the mascots and their reaction kind of went a wee bit semi viral on Twitter and stuff like that. So it's ideal in terms of publicity. It basically ticks all the boxes.
I think you're right, because I mean, Steel Man, you know, superhero sort of thing. And you see how big superheroes and comic book characters and all that are now. So that's obviously where the wee guy's got his inspiration for you as well. So, and as you say, everything was done fantastically. Publicity nationwide again, you know, and even thrown back to the week before where you're Celtic in the club, you know, helping the club with the Syrians and stuff like that, you know. So it's been a great few weeks for the club and, you know, and the media, basically.
Yeah, I think it's a win overall. I still think for Park Corner, they kind of documented the history of Claret and Amber, and I suppose it's kind of one of these ones. There is a wee bit of sentiment there, I suppose. But
the suits must be absolutely stinking.
The thing is, just putting an updated strip on them isn't going to make them smell any better. I think they've possibly seen better days.
They've been getting damp under the sprinklers recently as well, you know. So
I think that.
And I do it, he always got them in the washing machines.
Possibly are now. But it's a really good effort from Ryan and his team, so well done to them. Yeah. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week.
Yeah, I don't think we missed anything.
No, it's been good. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye.